James chapter 1, and we're going to pick up James 1 and verse number 19. James 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Thank you, Father, for your word. Teach us, please direct us, help us and guide us tonight. We pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Wherefore. Verse 19 starts out, wherefore, my beloved brethren. Well, what does the word wherefore mean? It means for which cause or for which reason. So we got to go back a little bit. Why should every man, what's the reason? Wherefore, what is the reason that every man should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath? What's the reason? Well, you got to go back up to verse 2. You got to go up to verse 2 and get the whole context. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Brethren, so often when we get in a trial, what do? We talk too much. We make statements that we later regret. Well, the best things to do is just try, when going through something, just try to be still, be quiet. Just hold on, not be so quick to speak. Because we usually will speak unadvisedly, we'll speak ill with our lips. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren? Because of all this, for which reason, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath? In other words, why should every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath? Because to do so, to not do so, would manifest a spirit that is contrary to what God is trying to develop in us. To manifest a spirit that is swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, to do so manifests and develops faith and patience and works to produce the fruits of righteousness in our lives. Okay? Listen. The quicker you are to hear, and the slower you are to speak, and the slower you are to wrath, the better things will be for you. Brethren, you can't be patient. You can't exercise faith and patience if you're quick to speak. Because your words usually provoke you to action. Because you know what? Usually you're like, brethren, it's the rare person that after you've spoken will say, I'm sorry. I spoke too quick. I'm sorry. I should not have said that, and I'm sorry. And back up on that thing. Most people, their pride won't let them. And the next thing you know, it rolls on down. Listen, there was a time in this country that the duel was a big deal. You talk about a mess. When you read about it, you talk about a mess. This country lost some good men because of duels. They were men who often believed that the duel was ridiculous. It proved nothing. But yet their pride would not allow them to step away out of it. Dueling was against the law, but it didn't matter. It was still done because it was looked at as a thing of honor. We lost the Secretary of State, Alexander Hamilton, because of a duel. We lost one of the best Navy men ever had, Stephen Decatur, because of a duel. Brethren, it was unbelievable the number of men that constantly had to face challenges. And the problem is, what happened was, you know what got most of these men in trouble? You know what got most of these men facing duels? That thing right there. That thing right there. Because what would happen is, they would get hasty and speak words. And they would often put them in print, or it'd be told somebody else, did you say this? You said this? Sir, I'll meet you on the field of honor. And so rather than saying, every now and then you might see guys like, oh, no. Man, I shouldn't have. Then he's either got like, look, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. I'll make a public apology. I should not have done that. If he wouldn't humble down, it moved to the next step. Next thing you know, they are meeting on the so-called field of honor. Oh, really? So I'm going to take, because of my pride, and I'm going to deprive a man of his family and children of their father, and maybe my family of the same position, because I won't humble down and say, I messed up. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. I should not have said that. And you say, well, what if you didn't say anything wrong, but somebody just wants to challenge you? Well, you might as well kill me now, because I'm not going to. You might as well, okay, here I am. You'll shoot me, because I'm not going to face you down and try to fire at you. Brethren, you cannot reconcile the spirit of the duel with New Testament Christianity. Are you serious? Can you imagine? Here's two Christian brothers. What? Or a Christian who's out here trying to get the gospel to save men's lives. Hope you save, bud, because I'm going to put one right between you. Come on. But brethren, there was a time in this country's history that, man, that thing was done. Like, finally, really, when Alexander Hamilton got killed, shot and killed in duel by Aaron Burr, that really was about ended it right there. Because Aaron Burr was vice president of the United States when he did that. That was the vice president of the United States who killed the man that had been secretary of the treasurer. Secretary of the treasurer. He killed, I mean, brethren, that's your vice president. And he ruined himself when he did it. He ruined himself. It was political suicide when he did it. It was over for him. Aaron Burr was known at the time as the most wicked man in America. People would point him out. Dads would point him out to their children, saying, son, Edgar's the most wicked man in this state, this town, or whatever like that. You know who his grandpa was? Guess who his grandpa was? Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That was his grandpa. Supposedly, I believe it heard, come by Aaron Burr's house one time and heard him saying to God, God, if you'll leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And quite possibly that happened. Aaron Burr was about as wicked a man as they come. It's like his conscience got totally seared. That man got so debauched that he would lay with about anything that come along and then write to his daughter and to tell her about it. His letters to his daughter are about his sexual escapades. Brother, what man with any sense of any kind of rectitude to him does that? It's messed up. Anyway, brother, what got people involved in those duels? That thing right there. That thing right there. Have you ever heard the phrase, them there fighting words? Well, that phrase meant something. There were certain things that were said. It's like, uh-oh. That thing moves it. And then you have some guys that'd be like, well, I'm not going to fire at him. In fact, Alexander Hamilton told his friends, I will not shoot at him. I'm not going to shoot at him. I'm going to fire up in the air. I'm going to fire to miss him. And Alexander Hamilton said, this is not compatible with Christianity. But he did it because of pride. Rather, I'm just going around telling you, look here. Slow to speak. Your mouth will get you in trouble. You can't develop patience. You can't develop faith if you're quick to run off at your mouth. If you say something ill-advised that you shouldn't have said, you want to talk about manhood and character? Go and say, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. I spoke too quick. I was out of line, and I'm sorry. If you think you are right in principle, say, I feel like I was sound in my principle, and I don't back up off that. But what I said to you was out of line, and it should not have been expressed that way, and I'm sorry. That's character. That's standing on your ground. but realizing I didn't handle it right. I didn't handle it right. All right? Look here. Brethren, if you want to produce the fruits of righteousness, you're going to have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The key is knowing when and in what to be swift and slow in. Now, did you notice something here? Watch this. Look at this. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's swift or quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's a tempo there. But that's what you're talking about. That intrigued me when I saw it, because I saw a tempo. And I remember reading before how that a lot of waltzes and all the other dances, a bunch of dances, have a tempo to them. Most of the time, though, it's either slow, quick, quick, or quick, slow. Did you know I could not find one? And I researched. I could not find one dance that has a tempo that would be quick. Quick, slow, slow. You'll find all the kind of combinations. I could not find one that had that tempo. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying this. The tempo of the things of God goes contrary to the world. And it's very interesting, brethren. There's all kinds of different dances. Waltzes, my goodness gracious, all the different ones that was listed, all those old, and they all have a tempo. They all have a tempo. A lot of times, either slow, quick, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. I could not find one. And I searched and I looked that had a tempo of quick, slow, slow. Couldn't find it. There was all the kind of combinations, but not that. Brethren, the tempo of the Word of God, the tempo that God sets for your life is going to be different than the tempo the world operates by. Do you understand that? And boy, that's just true with what we see in Scripture. Okay? That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. All right. So what is this tempo that the believer should operate under? Well, it's swift, slow, slow. What kind of swift? Swift to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 5. Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Listen, let me tell you something. If you are a good listener and if you will develop good listening skills, now one thing you'll do is you'll learn. Someone has said, when somebody else is talking, you should be learning. And while you're talking, somebody else should be learning. But while you're talking, you're not learning. But when you listen, if you learn to be a good listener, you can learn. Do you get antsy when someone's talking because you want to be talking? You might have something to say, but can you not listen to others? If you can't, you're never going to learn anything. You need to learn to be a good listener. Let me tell you one of the side benefits of being a good listener. People will think that you are a fascinating conversationalist. If you are a good listener, people will think, wow, that guy is fascinating. I never knew somebody who knew so much. And you didn't say anything. You didn't say anything. You just listened. And usually people talk about their favorite subject, which is self. They do. Most people like their favorite subject is self. So if you just go and ask, and they'll run with it, man. And they'll end up going, man, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And you know what? And you'll learn things. I told you before. Now, you do run into life. Let's just face it. You do run into life that you have certain individuals. And, brethren, they can talk so seamlessly, you never get that little seam to go, got to go. Amen. There's people like that. We had a guy in our church coming up. I loved him to death. He's a good old fellow. He's a good man. He's a good man. But that precious brother, he could flat. I mean, just. And he'd corner my daddy. And my daddy, if there's one thing that Billy Doss couldn't stand to do, that's be rude to somebody. Huh? My daddy can't stand to be rude to somebody. He just can't stand it. Right? And so he'd get my daddy. And it would be, I mean, the sun had done set Wednesday night after church. Sun had done set. It didn't matter to me. I was a little boy and I was running and playing. Mama was in the car and grandma, and I mean, steam was rolling out the winds, bud. Ready to get home. And Mr. Martin had my daddy over there, and he's just as relaxed. See, and Mr. Martin lived only about a quarter mile from the church. We lived about 10 miles. He could start, and so he's just talking, and my daddy's listening. My daddy ain't saying much, he's listening. And I mean, my mom and grandma, and get in the car, Billy, why don't you? Why I can't, what am I supposed to do? I can't get away. And so there it was. It was interesting on the ride home, right? Me and my wife one time, we knew this young couple, right? And we went to visit them. It was one of Daisy's relatives. I didn't know Daisy then. I didn't know Daisy and Rhonda existed. I didn't. And which is kind of wild. But this is one of their cousins that I knew back in the mid-80s. And so we was over at their house visiting with them. And he went to the, I guess he went to the restroom or something like that. And his wife looked at me and Sarah and said, run, go. She did. She said, go. If you don't go now, you're never going to get away. Y'all need to go ahead and go. And it was about time to go. But she said, y'all need to leave. You just need to go. Because he was so laid back. And I tell you another thing. Yeah. And you went. And I mean, he'd move that arm and just big old boy, big old fella, right? And I mean, you just go and he could just go right on along, right? And he just, you know, just as easy going. But there was never no seam. Never no seam, man, to kind of interject. Brother God, you know what I'm talking about. You wish you had a can opener. Just a little opening, man. That's all you need. I gotta go, man. Gotta run, gotta go. And so that's what it is. But I'll tell you something, look here. Be a good listener. You learn things. Sarah's, I told you all this before, some of you, but Sarah's grandma, when her grandma remarried, H.E., he's a good man. But he's one of them laid back fellas that could just flat talk, right? He could just flat talk. Well, if you know Sarah's daddy, then that's maybe not one of his high points is being able to listen. So when I come up, I used to love to listen to older folks talk. I did. Used to love to listen to older folks talk. I thought this was fascinating. I just sit around and listen to them. Learn things, right? So I didn't mind. So I think it was one Thanksgiving. They come in the door. And so H.E. sat right there. And here's what I did. I said, H.E., you come up near on the Yakin or something. I said, what was it like? Gone, man. I brought up one subject 2 hours later, son. I learned about weather patterns. I learned about how the Yadkin River used to freeze over, how they crossed it with wagons. I learned. And I mean, I just sat there. Right? So it was done, right? And they got ready to leave. And H.E. had gone to the bathroom before he left. And Charlie went in there after they'd left. And underneath one of the washcloths, there was $8 he had left. He was a little different. He was a junk man. I had so much money, he didn't know what to do with it all. Bought a Mitsubishi truck cash and said, I like that thing. I bought another in cash too. I mean, that man had some money from junk, right? Junk. But he laid that $8 under there. Her daddy went and grabbed that $8 and said, looked at me and said, here, you earned it. But it wasn't no problem. It really wasn't. I enjoyed. But what I'm telling you is, listen, can you listen to people? Can you listen? Or can you not? Someday I'll tell you this, you're going to want somebody to listen to you someday. And what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Someday you're going to probably want somebody to listen to you a little bit too. And one of the ways, lots of times, you can be a help to somebody is just listen to them. Do you know some people figure their problems out if they can just air them out? Just air them out. Sometimes just airing the thing out just helps you. You just kind of like, there it is. So a lot of times all somebody needs you to do is just kind of be a sounding board. Nothing wrong with that. Wives, husbands, be that to one another. Just be a sounding board. Sometimes somebody already got the thing worked out or just about to get it worked out. Just tell it, get it out, then get the thing worked out. But swift to hear. Can you be one that's swift to hear? Or do you not have patience? What's one of the things we spoke of in James? What started out? Patience. Remember? You know why a lot of people can't be swift to hear? They don't have patience. Don't have patience. And but be careful about being impatient with people. You might make somebody mad. And when you make somebody mad who's kind of easygoing, it might not be good. It really might not. Daisy's cousin, he's a big old bruiser. He's a big old boy. And he's kind of like a gentle giant until somebody makes him mad. And the thing about it is, he don't get mad like somebody else gets mad. He don't rage. And he wasn't the kind, somebody, he stopped himself at work. He'd just pick something up and probably conk you over head with it. Really. You never know it. You never know it. Wouldn't seem he just kind of, I'm serious. He had a situation one time. He got a hold of himself, but it's just, but you know what? It's just easy going. You ever seen somebody who's kind of easy going and somebody like, huh? You do that wrong person, it might not be pretty. It might not be good. Brethren, being swift to hear shows respect for somebody too. Shows that you care. I'm not good at it. Okay, we all got things we ain't good at. Ask God to help you get good at it. Ask God to help you. You know what? Theodore Roosevelt was somebody who liked the limelight. When your very own daughter says, my daddy wants to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral, that's, you know, and that's what was said. I mean, he was. Theodore Roosevelt had to be the center of attention on everything. But to his credit, they said he could sit stock still for hours and listen to somebody and pay attention. So he was a good listener. He's a good talker. Probably maybe a better talker, but he could listen. Brother, look here. Can you listen? Can you sit still? Can you be swift to hear? Brethren, some folks don't, they can't listen to anything from the Lord because of let me tell you this. Don't be one of those people, listen to me. Don't be one of those people that hear the first two or three words and then quit listening. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, what did you do here? I did what you said. What are you talking about? You said, bop, bop, bop. Yes, I did. Those were my introductory remarks. And there was a whole sentence left lying behind that. And y'all, just somehow you see what you know what I'm talking about. You'll see it at work situations. You'll see it. Individual, what they do is they hear the first three or four words and then they think, I know where this is going. That's assumption. And it can almost be an arrogant assumption. You think you know where the thing's headed. Okay, got it. No, you don't have it. You didn't hear. You just kind of, okay, got it. And you ran with it. Make a mess of things. Swift to hear. Be ready to hear. Ecclesiastes 5. Look at verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. What happens? Brethren, I tell you what. It happens in Baptist churches all the time. Do you know what we've gone and done in our Baptist churches? We have produced a people that we've made a people more ready to react rather than more ready to hear. Baptist churches today are all about trying to get people to do something. Either get them down to the altar and get them saved, whether God's dealing with them or not. Get them down to make some commitment. Commit to some money giving. Commit to some. Get them to do something rather than getting them still and quick to hear. And hear what God's got for them. Man, high pressure stuff, man. Look what the Bible says. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What's the sacrifice of a fool? Somebody who commits to something before they thought about it. Somebody who commits to something before they thought about it. Get caught up in the emotion and the spur of the moment and just, yeah. And you know, I mean, tell you something. Preachers are great at it, man. Preachers can be like carnies at a carnival, man. What do you do? Lie to you? Man, preachers can be good at that. They can work a crowd, bud. Preachers can work the crowd. They can work the crowd, and they can get the money going, or they can get the thing going. Preachers can work that thing. I like what one brother said. There's one preacher I know. He's a pastor. And he said, talking about going to meetings, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, unless God moves my heart, you ain't getting a dime out of me. He said, unless God moves me, you can do, listen, you lock the doors, you can shut me in, you can pass the plate 20 times, but unless God moves my heart, you ain't getting nothing out of me. And he's right. You say, pass the plate. Oh, yeah, man, there's all kinds of stuff goes on. You shame the people into doing it. You know, you browbeat them into doing it. Whatever. I mean, come on. And you know what? Baptist preachers get good at working the crowd. Got to work the crowd, man. Got to get this thing. They go to the carnival, man. And brother, I'm telling you, that's not what it's supposed to be like. Listen, they get people to offer the sacrifice of fools because they didn't think about it. They didn't really get with God. They didn't really say, let me think this thing through and find out what God... Do you know if you'll get with God, God sometimes may have you do even more than what you was going to do. I said, maybe, but the key is it'll be God. Verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Brethren, listen. Man can really stir a thing up. I'll do that, preacher. Me and my family, we'll do that for the rest of our lives. We'll commit to that. Wife's sitting there going, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to strangle him. Surely I can find reason to. Surely I can find. And you know what? The fella gets in the car and he realizes, What have I done? I didn't think that thing. And so the thing that is, and let me tell you something, brethren, there are some preachers out there that take advantage of that. They'll beat you over the head. They'll get you to commit and beat you over the head with it. I've seen it. And so what happens is, it's like, oh man, I didn't. You acted hasty. You got caught up in the emotion of the moment. If it's real, it'll stand up to a little prayer at the house and finding out what God would have you to do. Brethren, how come we see in the Bible, how come we don't see in the Bible what we seem to see go on at churches a lot? The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. How can you prove something if you don't have time to think about it and pray about it? Brethren, I see in the Bible preaching and teaching, and then people go and get with God and decide what they're going to do about things. But we've got this thing today. We got to get you to commit on this thing now. See, now we got you. Got you reeled in now, bud. I'm going to hold you to your word now. See, you said it. I got you. Oh, man. What I see in the Bible, I never see the Lord, never see Peter, Paul, trying to get an immediate kind of, it's like, here it is. We're going to lay this rock on you, let you hold it, and you find out what you need to do with it. And you get with God about it. That's what we see. A church Sarah and I was in before I was pastoring. The pastor had a certain ministry he wanted the church to get into. That was his little baby, what he wanted. So he really preached, he really got on everybody about it. And he said, all right, everybody that's for this, raise your hand. And they had everybody raise their hand. I looked at Sarah, I said, don't you move. I said, don't move. I said, don't you move. I said, I ain't for this thing. I said, don't you move. And I told her later, I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And there was some bad situations going on. That pastor ended up in a mess. It was just a mess. But I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I said, 2 weeks from now, did you see everybody raise their hand? I said, they're going to get bludgeoned over the head with this issue. They're going to get smacked and beat. They're going to be told, all right, you said, I said, you what? And you know what happened 2 weeks later? Exactly what I said. All right, y'all said just for it. You better get. I mean, man, it was like they were got bludgeoned over the thing. Brethren, what I'm telling you is this. The whole thing is, because you know what, brethren? Pulpit time can be abused to try to get people to make certain decisions in the heat and emotion of a moment and then hold it over their head. Brethren, look here. You can't prove something if you ain't got time to do it. You take the word of God, you take the thing, you pray about it, you find what God has to do. Be careful about offering the sacrifice to fools. Be careful about being hasty about things. Verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. Isn't that something? Right there, it tells you where most of your dreams come from. See, a lot of times, okay, in the Old Testament, you'll see sometimes in the Bible, God would communicate by people, but they knew it. Brethren, if God is communicating with somebody by a dream, that was something they knew. They knew this. Because what does a dream come? Multitude of business. I remember I was about in the second grade, third grade when I figured that out. I was, because here's what happened. I didn't know the verse on it, but I figured it out. Because we had been somewhere, and I remember I'd seen a black snake that day. And I remember in my dreams that night, there was a black snake. And I thought, hey, you know what? That's caused, all right. And sure enough, what happens is the multitude of business affairs you have during the day, it's all in the old computer bank. And at night, your brain just goes, bleh, so you can have sanity. And it downloads it all in some wild manners. Huh? I mean, come on, brother. You don't talk about all your dreams. No. You want people to think you got a little sense. You don't talk about all your dreams, all right? And it's like, what in the world? Where did that come from? That's the wildest thing, right? And you're like, great, because it's just all there and it just kind of, boop. God somehow uses that as a purging thing to help you maintain your sanity. Because, brethren, when you get sleep deprived to the point of you can't dream and you can't, your nerves will get messed with. God somehow uses that mechanism to help you maintain your sanity and a purging kind of thing. Your dreams come from a multitude of business. Brethren, please don't go around. What do you think that meant? Well, again, probably a lot of pizza. And you everything's, and you're just remembering everything and just don't sweat it, right? But look, so a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. What does a dream come by? A multitude of business. How's a fool's voice known? A multitude of words. In other words, how do you know a fool is talking? He's talking too much and he's not listening. How do you know a fool's talking? He's talking too much and he's not listening. Look, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. Brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Be swift to hear, brethren. Be quick to hear. Not so quick to speak. Swift to hear. Let yourself listen. Once again, if you're doing all the talking, other people's learning. Whether it's something good or something bad, who knows? But somebody else is learning. You're not. Learn. There's time to speak, sure. Time to listen. Okay. So what does the Bible say in James 1? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. You know what that helps do? You know what being slow to speak does? It helps you choose your words correctly and know what to say. Helps you choose your words correctly and to know what to say. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Wow. I mean, a fool. But the Bible says there's more hope of a fool than a man that's hasty in his words. Don't be hasty in your words. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. And brother, again, we're not talking about, okay, brother Doss. No, what we're talking about, is not being so hasty to get words out. To stop just a minute and say, let me think this thing through. Hang on just a minute. You know what, there's nothing wrong with saying, let me get back with you. I want to be right about this thing. Let me get back with you. Nothing wrong with that. Jeremiah, they came to him wanting to know the word of the Lord. He said, okay, I've heard you. In 10 days. And then he had an answer for him from God. So, brethren, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with saying, well, let me see, and I'll get back with you. Get back with you. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. If you're careful and slow to speak and not so hasty, then you won't have to retract them. Brethren, in the reading I've done about the early political scene in this country, the reason for all those duels, men were hasty. Brethren, I'm talking about the men who could build a nation from nothing and yet could not control their own spirit at times and were hasty in their words. And it's like, again, them there's fighting words. And they would have this hasty speech that would get them in trouble. They and later on, often when they thought about it, they realized, man, I shouldn't have said that. That was, you know, but their pride wouldn't let them. Real quick, somebody challenged, well, Abraham Lincoln got challenged to duels a couple times, and he wasn't one to take them up on it usually. Two times he did, he told one fella, fine, since you're challenging me, I get to choose the weapons. He goes, cow pies at 10 paces. But one time, he took it serious. Lincoln was like, what, 6'4", you know? And the guy who challenged him was kind of a short fella, maybe like me or something like that. And so Lincoln got to choose the weapons. He said, okay. Broadswords across a log. And when the guy showed up, Lincoln was taking the sword and lopping off some leaves. And the guy said, I think we can come to an agreement. Smart fella. But what happened? Hasty with words. Got too quick. Said something too quick. Said something about somebody's character. And instead of being man enough to say, I'm sorry, I spoke ill-advisedly, and I am sorry. The pride. Because you know what? Too many men today don't understand biblical manhood. Too many men don't understand biblical manhood. They let the world determine manhood. In other words, I don't back up. I've said that. It's just wrong. You're wrong. So you're going to go and accept a duel with this fella based on something you did that was wrong. So if you kill him, that's somebody that's going to have a husband and kids ain't going to have a daddy. If he kills you, the same thing. All because you're in the wrong and you won't admit it? Because of your pride? You ain't no man. You're acting like a child of the devil. Because he's called king over all the children of pride. It's messed up, bud. Look here. So swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Because if you don't check anger, it turns to wrath. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I've told you before, God has given you a tool in your toolbox. Listen, if you are ever in any managerial position over anybody, God has given you a tool in your toolbox to defuse almost any situation if you'll use it. It's a wonderful tool, but most people won't use it. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. I told y'all before, and it's just applicable to tell it again. Back when we was on Royal Road, some of you remember that back behind the church was Miss Freeman's house, and she had a bunch of beautiful azaleas there. She had a whole yard full of azaleas. She didn't live there anymore. She was in a nursing home because of her health, but they would bring her there on the weekends. Come on, brethren, we had little kids in the church and visitors that would sometimes come, and I don't think they ever heard anything, but they'd be running around her yard sometime. And so there her family would come, and there's these kids running through her yard, right? So there was a brother that needed to meet me to discuss something really heavy on his heart, and I was up at the church, and this brother was there. And I hear a knock at the door. And Miss Freeman's son is there. And he is loaded for bear, bud. He's hot. I mean, he is snarling and pawing. And I said, yes, sir. He goes, we bring mama in from the rest home and you come to a place and all these kids are running around and running through the yard. We can't have that. And this guy, you have to do something about this. I mean, he was hot, right? So he's hot and he's railing and there's a brother from the church, you know, sitting in there and listening to this man chew me up one side and down the other. Well, you know, listen, hey, I could have let my flesh rise up and said, let me tell you something. You better back up here right now. Well, what's that going to do? He's just going to get hotter. He's going to get, so what to do? I said, Mr. Freeman, you're right. I'd be upset too. That's your mama. And she comes to the house, and I'm sure seeing all these young'uns run through her yard, I'm sure that does upset y'all. And I said, and I'm sorry. I said, now, Mr. Freeman, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't tell you it's going to change. We'll try, but we can't be perfect about it. And something's going to slip through the cracks, and we might have visitors, and they're young'uns. I said, it probably won't keep, it'll probably happen again. I said, but now we'll try, and I understand why you're upset. Now, that bull hit a wall. And it's literally like he shook his head going, but he weren't done. So he backed up and he pawed. And he tried again. You know, she comes here and she just, you know, and he's trying again. And I said again. Now, flesh could have said, hey now, I just told you. What's that going to do? So I said, Mr., you're right. I said the same thing I just said. But I said, you're right, and we'll try. I said, I hate it, but we'll try. Well, I know you will. We just kind of hate mama and her flowers and everything. And I said, I know. Hey, I do taxidermy work. If you ever bring the kids over and see my taxidermy work, you're more than welcome. I said, we'll do that. And we did take kids over. He said, anything I can do. I made a friend. I really did. I made a friend of him and had a good relationship with him. Really did. Weren't me, but it's just simply what the book said. And it works. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Not at first. He backed up and he pawed. He shook his head. And he backed up and he's going to try again. But the book works. Brethren, you know what? Why would I have handled it in any other way? You ain't bucking me. Don't you know who I am? Are you kidding me? What? I know who I am. Just a piece of sorry dirt sinner saved by grace, bud. Only good to me, Jesus Christ. That's it. What? Or I could have said, what? What? Rail on me in front of my parishioners? No, you know, hopefully the brother, I think himself learned some things about how the book works. And it does. Listen, let me tell you something. A short, quick fuse. Think about a short, quick fuse. Is it's liable to hurt you as much as your opponent. See, a lot of times in warfare they've used explosives. And if you'll time that fuse. But the problem about a short fuse is, yes, it's going to go off and do damage, but it might damage you. Because if you don't get out of the way quick enough, if you stumble or slow, you're going to get hurt too. Let me ask you, you got a short fuse? You got a short fuse? Now, some of us have long fuses. The problem is when it goes, it's like an atomic bomb. That ain't good. That's not good. But some people got short fuses, and that ain't good neither. Because you know what happens? Is I got a short fuse. Well, you better do something about it. Because you're going to hurt yourself as much as anybody else. And that's the truth. Because you know what? You're going to be miserable to work with. People are going to be like, I can't take this fella. I can't take it. It's just all the time. Well, I just blow off some steam, and then I'm okay. Yeah, but you know what? You make it miserable for everybody. Stop it. It's not good. Don't be quick to wrath. Be slow to wrath. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, David had some mighty men. But it'd be pretty good to be labeled one of the mighty. The Bible says if you're slow to anger, you're better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Why? Because if you can be slow to anger, slow to wrath, you show that you have mastered the hardest person there is to master, your own self. Let me tell you something, brethren. You're probably not going to be able to manage men if you can't manage yourself. How can you manage a family if you can't manage yourself? The things you got to do is learn to conquer you. And part of that, listen, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Man, better than the mighty. Slow to anger. Fellas, someday you're going to be daddies and you're going to be husbands and daddies, you know. And you know what, fellas? You're going to need to be slow to anger. Because that gal that looks so pretty and sweet will irritate the daylights out of you sometime. Won't be too far in that thing, and she's going to do something going to aggravate you. And you got to handle that thing right. Or then you will really have a mess on your hands, because she will be reduced to a crying, blubbering mass, and you will not know what in the world to do. And you fellas right there will be like, "And I thought JR was messed up." You're like, "I wish I had my brothers back." Listen, you got to be slow to anger. You know what you're going to do when you have young'un someday? That young'un's going to need to learn from you. And if he feels like if he messes up one time, you're going to be all over him, he's going to get nervous. And how many of you have ever found out that you can't learn when you're nervous? You can't learn when you're nervous. If somebody's trying to teach you something and you're nervous, you ain't getting nothing. You know what's going to happen? If your child feels like that if they mess up, you're going to be all in their face or all frustrated at them, you know what they're going to do? They're not going to be able to learn. Because they're going to be tense. They're going to be uptight. They're going to be, and everything's going to shut down, and they're not going to go up from down, and they're not going to, we've picked about it before, but some of you moms in homeschooling, you know that stuff, that thing. You know, you get upset at the child, "No, no, no." And at that point, don't even ask them their name. They don't know it. They don't. I mean, what's your name? "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." They'll find something from the book and tell you that. "I don't know." And then you're going, "I've destroyed my child. They don't have an identity. What have I done to them?" Then you're over there crying like, "I've killed their personality. They don't even know who they are." Then dad comes home to that. "You, what? 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 What is going on here?" I'm serious. Listen, slow to anger. Slow to anger. You know why? Because if you're not, you're not going to be able to help your family. And nobody's going to learn anything from you. The good things you have to give, they won't be able to get because they get nervous around you. They get nervous. And when you're nervous, you don't learn. You can't learn. You can't learn when you're nervous. You got to be relaxed about that thing. So listen, what do you got to do? You got to control that anger. Slow to anger. You can't manage anybody else. You can't manage a business. You can't manage a shift. You can't manage a family. You can't manage anything. Unless you can manage yourself. And part of that's being slow to anger. All right? Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14, verse 17. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." So every man be what? Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Wow, we'd go far if we'd work on them three things. You'd be amazed how far you'd go. You'd be amazed what a help you can be to others and how much peaceable it can be in your life if you'll be swift to hear. You'd be surprised. If you're swift to hear, you'd be amazed how much more stuff you'd learn. If you'd be slow to speak, you'd be surprised how much less trouble and how much less apologizing you got to make do. If you be slow to wrath, you'd find out how much more you'd be able to help other people learn. I'm serious. And finally, James 1 verse 20. Says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Brethren, your wrath does not work the righteousness of God. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. Luke 9. I'm not saying that sometimes there's not a cause for anger and wrath. Jesus spoke. Jesus got angry, the Bible said. Just make sure it's a right cause and you handle it right and that you didn't get there too hastily. Luke 9, verse 52. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now they went to another village. The boys were quick. They were quick to wrath. Quick. After their conversion, it's funny, book of John, love, 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 love. But man, before that, well, they were quick. Man, James and John, what Jesus surname them? Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Lord, we saw one cast out a devil in thy name. We forbade him. Jesus, why'd you do that for? No one can lightly do a miracle in my name, lightly speak evil of me. No, no, no. If he's not against us, he's for us. So it's okay, guys. Lord, don't call fire down from heaven and consume him. No, fellas, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. After them boys got converted, it's a different deal, different story. Brethren, again, your wrath or my wrath doesn't work the righteousness of God. You may have cause. You may have just cause. Just handle it right. In closing, go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. You know what? Some of you know that you came up in a situation and you may have loved your daddy and loved your mama. You love them still. But you got some memories that you wish some things was different because there's some things that, you know what, you got flat nervous that you'd mess up. And you never learned anything that you could have learned because you got, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. And Lord, help us all with patience and being quick to anger and all like that, but sometimes it happens. You've known if you've been in any situation where somebody's trying to teach you something, if they got you to where, well, you used to tell me about that situation at work, you know, how those girls got just unnerved. And it's hard to learn when, you know, and it is. If somebody's just on you and not having some patience with things, let me say something this to you, Brad. If somebody is goofing off and not paying attention, well, they probably need to be jerked too real good. But if they just honestly didn't get it or make a mistake, lay off. Lay off. They didn't mean to do that. Just lay off. You're liable to compound the thing by getting on them about it. And let me tell you this. If you call your child stupid, or if you call your child dumb, or if you say things like that, you need to go and apologize. If you've got reason to be upset, fine. But you need to tell them that I shouldn't have said that. You understand me? Because you can think what you want, but that stuff goes deep and it hurts. That stuff goes deep and it hurts. Really bad. If you need to correct them, correct them. If you need to deal with something, deal with something. But just to throw out a name because you got aggravated and you don't have patience, whoa. You'll get that youngin' where they won't open up to you. They won't open up to you. They won't confide with you because afraid of what they're going to get called, what's going to be said to them. It can be overcome, but you got to eat some crow and you got to some humble pie and humble yourself down a little bit. Look here. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So if you see someone that is quick to anger, you know what? Don't make friendship with them. It didn't say not be friendly to them. It didn't say not be charitable. We're talking about what I've been talking about in Psalm 26 for week after week after week. Fellowship. Don't make friendship, the Bible says, with an angry man. If you see somebody that is quick to anger, treat them decent, be nice to them, pray for them, witness to them, whatever you can. Don't make friendship with them. Why? Because somebody like that will lash out at you sooner or later. You'll make them mad somehow, and you'll learn their ways. How many times as parents have you seen your kids like, what in the world? What? Where'd this stuff come from? They've picked up something. They picked up something. And it happens at any age. You'll pick up things. And the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. You see somebody that's angry? Be friendly to them. Don't you hook up with them. Don't you hook up with them. You'll learn their ways, or you'll have them turn on you, and you'll get a snare to your soul. Let me just real quick say this. Be careful who you make friendships with. Because you'll pick up ways. You'll pick up the ways of people. Especially, I'm just telling you right now, I've gave you the warnings about the social networking. But it is interesting, Italy, in that I have all people, I guess, on the, I don't know how it all works. I really don't. But I guess you have all these friends, right? You have these friends. Brethren, how can somebody in the true definition of friend be your friend on the internet? When you don't even know them. Or this, you know, these are my friends. You've got to be kidding me. Let me look. Not by biblical definition are they your friends. Trust me. What kind of a friendship? It just kills me sometimes. What kind of a friendship is a friendship? I'm going to unfriend you. They unfriended me. Well, brethren, if click can destroy a friendship, it wouldn't much of a friendship start with. Real friendships need to be personal contact, real deal. You better watch that stuff. Better watch that stuff. All right. What does the Bible say in the book of James? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Maybe we need to ask God to help us. Lord, help me to be swift to hear. Slow to speak. This week, just take it work. How much would it help you if you were quicker to listen and slower to speak? How much would it help you? How much would it help you if this week you were slower to wrath at your house and at work? What kind of difference would it make? I dare you to try. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we want people to see the righteousness of God. Brethren, our wrath doesn't work the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious principles. Help us, Lord, to understand these things. Lord, help us to, in every one of our lives, Lord, dear God, help me. Help me to see the areas of my life, Lord, where I need to apply these matters, where I need to be quicker to hear and less quick to speak. Lord, there is a time to speak. We know that. Help us to know when it is and reach that point the right way. Lord, our words can get us in such trouble. So help us to choose them wisely and sparingly. Lord, if we would be swift, if we'd be slow to speak, it would probably help us to be slow to wrath. Lord, help us to understand that both of these, all three of these things, each one helps the other one. If I'm quick to hear, I'll probably be slower to speak, and then I'll be slower to wrath. But Lord, if I'm slow to hear, I'll probably be a little quick to speak. And if I'm quick to speak, I'm liable, most likely, to be quick to wrath. So, Father, help us to get the right tempo. And, Lord, help us to make a right application with it. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.